This is All Things Considered. I'm Mary Angish. In late December of 2022, after a relatively mild case of COVID, I returned to work, but I quickly found something had shifted. I was constantly overwhelmed. My ability to process emotions slipped. I had greater food sensitivities, balance issues. I couldn't keep to a schedule. My memory was shot. Concentration was MIA. And I was always exhausted. I could no longer tolerate being in an office. The lights and sounds felt painfully amplified. Eye contact had always been hard, but now it felt impossible. And social interactions were excruciating. Skills I'd used at work for decades were out of reach. Something was drastically different. And others noticed it too. Around the same time, we received an email from a listener. It read, in part, "I have stopped listening to All Things Considered on the days when Mary Angish is hosting. She is hard to listen to. She sounds ill-prepared to deliver the news and stumbles over her words. Long pauses between words, voice drifting off, odd cadence of ups and downs with her voice, as if she's reading the script for the first time. Mary is not a strong example of what listeners expect." Well, that wasn't the most sensitive feedback I've ever gotten, but they weren't wrong. This note moved me to find out what was happening, and it changed everything for me. I found out through my research and then eventually a doctor's evaluations that I am autistic, and I have been since birth. And I'm not the only one who's figured it out as an adult.
And this really wild thing was happening.
I could not read. It was as though the letters were spiders crawling all over the page.
Going back into crowded places and not able to handle that at all.
My husband turned on the light and I almost murdered him.
I couldn't tolerate smells.
My favorite softest t-shirt feels like sandpaper, like it's burning.
Noises put me on edge that didn't used to bother me.
That was Vermonters Miranda Jane and Liz Carney talking about the intense kaleidoscope of symptoms they experience as autistic people. Miranda and Liz are in their late 40s, and they too recently learned that they're autistic. Around the world, more and more people are being diagnosed, which is due in part to a greater awareness of the condition. And chances are you know someone with autism, even if you think you don't. According to the CDC, over 75 million people worldwide have autism spectrum disorder. The agency found that 1 in 36 American kids were diagnosed with autism in 2020, a huge jump from the 1 in 150 kids back in 2002. And many experts caution those numbers are likely undercounted. For decades, autism was largely associated with boys, but as the healthcare world has learned to look for it in people assigned female at birth in recent years, the number of women getting diagnosed has grown too. But what actually is autism? Molly Bumpus is a clinical assistant professor at the University of Vermont, specializing in autism spectrum disorder. She says it's defined as a type of disorder that affects how the brain functions, and that, in turn, can affect how a person behaves.
Social interaction challenges can include difficulties with social-emotional reciprocity, so the back and forth of social interaction with another person, nonverbal communication like eye gaze, gestures, facial expressions, or difficulties in developing and maintaining relationships.
Bumpa says autism can lead to extreme focus or hyperfixation on certain interests, and it can make people oversensitive to sensory stimulation like lights, sounds, and textures. And these characteristics are present from birth. As autism awareness has grown, so too has the rate of adult diagnoses. Bumpa says it can be challenging to have that realization, though, because autistic traits may have been mistaken for other disorders over the course of someone's life in a kind of neurodivergent soup.
It can be really difficult to tease out autism from ADHD, anxiety, OCD, or trauma-informed things that may have happened to a person.
And even living with undiagnosed autism, not knowing what's happening in your brain, can actually spur or worsen conditions like anxiety and depression. It's a lot to process and distill, especially if you're just learning about your diagnosis. And I want to say this up front. Many autistic people are nonverbal, or they use other communication instead of spoken words, and some need help navigating daily life. But Miranda and Liz and I, along with another autistic person that you'll meet later, we have lower support needs. Still, understanding everything at play can be tough, and that's why I asked Miranda and Liz to get on a Zoom call to talk about our experiences being diagnosed as adults. For each of you, what was your knowledge of autism before your own diagnoses?
Rain Man was the archetypal character. So I absolutely did not see myself in, you know, like an almost mute savant white male Dustin Hoffman character at all.
Liz is from Shelburne. She describes herself as a mother, a friend, a connection seeker who advocates passionately in her community for those who feel left out. Miranda lives in Brandon and is a therapist.
I went to graduate school, learned nothing about autism, and, you know, really had those basic stereotypes in my head of what autism would look like.
In recent years, there's been a lot of information about autism popping up on social media. Miranda said numerous clients were sharing things that really resonated and asking if they could be autistic.
And I was like, totally not. Of course, said, like, let me find out more. Like, send me the things. What are you learning? You know, let's find out.
Well, after researching and then eventually seeking out their own neuropsych evaluation, Miranda found what they're calling their missing piece. And Miranda had what they and other people call an autiphany.
Not only are all of you autistic, I'm autistic, like without a doubt. There's like a fundamental nervous system that just looks different and is just challenging in various ways. And that is, you know, here to stay.
Many autistic people who don't yet know they're autistic unintentionally do something called masking. And that's where they learn to camouflage autistic traits early on to fit in. For example, mirroring how a neurotypical person might act in a conversation, whether it's speaking rhythm or eye contact or gestures. Miranda, Liz, and I were all masking before we figured out we were autistic. But working every day to appear neurotypical in the world can take a lot of energy. And what we all eventually experience, the extreme sensory sensitivities, the inability to cope with pre-existing ADHD symptoms, the skills regressions, that is something called autistic burnout. Put simply, it's when the combination stress of masking and everyday life stuff becomes too much to carry. And it's one of the most common ways for adults to realize they're autistic. And that's something that I experienced too. It was things that were normally I was able to do. I could no longer be in the office. I could no longer have a desk. I don't even have a desk here anymore. I was always okay in the studio because I'm alone. But yeah, I'm curious about burnout itself.
I went actually for my neuropsych eval because I thought I had dementia because all of my ADHD symptoms flared. I think of that as like a lost skill, was the ways I had learned to manage my ADHD were gone. And I had zero emotional regulation.
As for Liz?
I couldn't tolerate smells that used to not bother me at all. So there were like kitchen smells that were making me gag. Noises put me on edge that didn't used to bother me. And I didn't have a context for this at all. And I was just talking to people about it and saying like, am I losing my mind? What is going on? Like am I losing all my coping skills? And it wasn't until later when I realized that it felt safe for me to let all of that sensory information back in. But now I didn't really, I had lost my ability to kind of control the spigot.
During my conversation with Liz and Miranda, we talked about how, when, and if we're sharing our autism diagnoses with family, with friends, and with colleagues, and especially what we would most want them to know. Liz was diagnosed as autistic about a year and a half ago.
Right now, I'm in a season of disclosing thinking about how to disclose to my close friends and family. And when I think about how to talk to them about it, what I want them to know is I want them to take what you know about me and say, this is what autism looks like, rather than to take what you know about autism and map it onto what you know about me.
Oh, that's good.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And so like what that means for me is like, what is it? Autism is sensitivity. Autism is witty. Autism is paying attention. Autism wants connection. Autism wants fairness. Autism wants authenticity. And all of those things are me. And that's how I'm trying to live an unmasked life.
And you might assume it's a bummer to receive news that you have a neurodevelopmental disorder, but not for many late-diagnosed autistic people, including Miranda.
The clouds parted, the sun came down, like I just felt finally seen and known and understood, and like I'd found my people. Then all of the things kind of eventually got, you know, somewhat better.
Lauren Arcuri is familiar with that too. She's a freelance science writer based in Hardwick. And after spending years with her brother and then later her own son, both of whom are autistic, Lauren figured out she is too.
You know, there's a lot of traits throughout my family, and it all seemed like normal to me. So I identified as gifted as a child. And I think a lot of what was autistic traits were lumped under like gifted and weird, you know.
For Lauren, not to mention Miranda and Liz, finding community has been vital. And that includes All Brains Belong, a clinic based in Montpelier centered on caring for neurodivergent people. It's one of the only ones of its kind in the country.
They have fostered a lot of peer connection that I think has helped me incredibly in just not feeling alone, especially in being late diagnosed. There's a lot of other late diagnosed people. So having other people around who are also just finding this out has been life-changing.
Like with Miranda, the diagnosis was an explanation, a reason to be a little more gentle about situations out of their control.
I kind of went back to childhood onward and saw things with that lens, that I was an autistic child, an autistic teen, an autistic adult, trying to function as best I could. I had a lot more compassion for the struggles that I faced, because even though I look to the outside world like a very high functioning person, autism or not, I'm actually not, you know. I've been self-employed my whole life. I've carved out work that fit my neurodivergence and still struggled with it at times because of executive function difficulties that I didn't know was autism and ADHD. I beat myself up for those struggles and thought that I was just lazy. I think a lot of it has to come with unmasking and with it's all about like really accepting who I am in a different way that I wasn't able to do before. I had all of this friction about who I was and who I was socially and how I acted or how I appeared in the world. And now I just feel like so at peace with who I am 2 years in.
And that seems like a good way to lead into where I am these days. I reached out to the person I mentioned at the beginning, the one who wrote that email that set me off on this trek, which led me to my autism diagnosis. I wanted to thank them. And as of this recording, I haven't heard back. And that's okay. Nothing's changed. And everything has changed. Now, I'm learning how to navigate my life as an autistic person. And the discoveries occur daily. As a person who's cultivated a persona that from the outside appears pretty unfazed about much around me, I am now more honest about the things that don't work for me. For instance, as lovely as they are, I still won't be joining a table full of colleagues for conversation over a lunch break. The challenging parts are learning about the various medical conditions, and there are many that can come with an autism diagnosis. And I'm beginning to grasp what that means for me as I age. And though I'm not back to having a desk yet here in my office, I am coming in each day and spending time in other spaces that aren't a soundproof studio alone. Talking with colleagues again, making sure to not mask and camouflage my repetitive behaviors or other differences. Before I could start the process, though, when I got my diagnosis, I distinctly remember having to go find the nearest mirror and just look at myself. Look back at myself. After 50 plus years, I feel less like a pile of parts and more like the sum of them, knowing that my autism diagnosis is the connective tissue that holds me together. For Vermont Public, I'm Mary Engish.